Good morning. Today's daf in Sukkah is Mem Dalid. And I know where we're beginning. We're beginning halfway down the Amud with the words Itmar. It's on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, a little bit more than halfway down. The Gemara obviously is in the middle of a discussion. We are trying to figure out exactly this mitzvah of Arava. So there is a mitzvah of Lulav. That we know. We spent now more than a parak discussing Lulav. So the Kach Mechem Yom Rishon, you take on the first day, and so there is a mitzvah min haTorah to take Dalaminim. So that's something which has at this point in time been clarified. We've spent 2 weeks in the Daf Yomi discussing it. Okay, so we have at least a good idea of what that is. But there's also a mitzvah of Arava. And over here it's a little bit of a struggle in terms of identifying what exactly is the mitzvah of Arava. And it's principally predicated on the fact that there's no pasuk in the Torah that talks about the mitzvah of Arava. Yes, there is the opinion of Abishol. Abishol does learn it out from a drusha, but it's a drusha. Meaning by virtue of the fact that it says Arvei Nachal, it says in the plural. So according to Abishol, one is for the Aravas of the Lulav and the other one's for the Arava of the mitzvah of Arava. Okay, but even according to Abishol, that doesn't really help us a whole lot. And certainly according to the Shita, that there's no source for it in the Torah. It's not Nirmaz at all in the Torah. It's just simply Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. So now we have a mitzvah, min haTorah, but there's no indication whatsoever in terms of what we're supposed to do. So the question now is really simple. What are we supposed to do? When we take the Arava, so what exactly are we supposed to do? And as we are seeing in yesterday's daf, and we're continuing now, machlokis amongst the Amoraim, exactly what is to be done with the Arava. Your two options are as follows. Number one, netila. Now, netila basically means that the same thing what we do with a lulav. So what do we do with a lulav? We pick up the lulav. We also do, we also shake the lulav. So there's not a new one. So presumably, that's the same thing by Arava. So it's going to be netila. That's one option. Now, if it's a netila, so that means that you're going to have a lot of people doing it. Now, I say a lot of people, by the way. I'm going to try to be a little bit more precise over the course of today's daf in terms of this mitzvah of Arava, who is it on? So I'll say it now, and it'll become clear later on. It's the Kohanim, meaning it's not Kol Yisrael. Now, the reason why we're going to be insistent upon that, because the Arava is done in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not done outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now the environs, the area of the Beis HaMikdash is, generally speaking, dedicated to the Kohanim. Yes, it's possible for a non-Kohen to go in to the Beis HaMikdash, but only up to a certain area. We are going to be over here encircling the Mizbeach. So it's an area that really is principally designated for the Kohanim. So one way to say it is that it's done al-yidei netila, and it should be done by the Kohanim. Okay. Then, the other way to say it is that it's not been netila, but rather it's bizikifa. Now, zikifa means that what we're going to do is we're going to stand it up onto the Mizbeach, right up against the Mizbeach. That's another way to understand the mitzvah of Arava. So that is one of the basic issues in which you're trying to ascertain in terms of exactly how the mitzvah is to be done. Is it to be done through netila, and is it to be done through zikifa? Another point of consideration, which is going to be a big topic in today's daf, is that nowadays, but we don't have a base of mikdash, we still are doing something zecher lemikdash. By lulav, so what do we learn? We learned that zecher lemikdash, we're going to be taking the lulav all 7 days. Rav Yochim and Zake was misakin to take lulav all 7 days, zecher lemikdash. So by Arava, we're also doing a zecher lemikdash. Now by Arava, we only do it 1 day. And that's, of course, the seventh day. Ano Shana Rabbah, what we call Shana Rabbah, the seventh day of Sukkot. So we take Arava. Why zecher lemikdash? It reminds us of the Beis HaMikdash. The obvious question, which the Gemara is going to ask in a couple minutes from now, is that, wait 1 second. The mitzvah of Arava was how many days in the Beis HaMikdash? The correct answer is all 7. Just like the mitzvah of Lulav in the Beis HaMikdash was all 7. So the Gemara is going to ask later on a really obvious question, which is, well, if we're doing zecher lemikdash of the Lulav for 7 days, so why don't we do zecher lemikdash of the Arava for 7 days? Hold that thought. The Gemara is going to ask that question. We just need a little bit of patience. Okay? That is all by way of introduction. Let's continue where we left off yesterday with the words Itmar. Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Itmar Rebbe Lazar Omer Belulav Rav Shmuel Bar Nosson Amar Rebbe, Amar Rebbe Chanina B'Arava. Okay, and so, when we had the Brisa yesterday that talked about how we are encircling the Mizbeach. So what are we encircling the Mizbeach with? It didn't say in the Brisa. So once again, we hear a debate. Some say Lulav, some say it's the Arava. V'chein Amar Rav Nachman Amar Arava Baravua B'Arava. And so he says it's on Ba'Arava, which means that the mitzvah of Arava is B'Netila. You go around the Mizbeach, but obviously what you're doing is you're holding the Arava, much like we hold the Lulav. Amale Rava le Rav Yitzchak Berei de Rabba Barbarchana Bar Uriah. So Bar Uriah is an expression, just basically means you're a Talmud Chacham. Ta ve'em alach milsa ma'al yasa. I'm going to tell you something wonderful. Da have Amar Avuch that your father said. Had nan. When the Mishnah says Kol Yom Akifin Mizbech Mamachas Voso Yom Akifin Mizbech Sheva Pa'amim. So we're going to see the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that every day they would encircle the Mizbech one time. Every day of Sukkos. They would encircle the Mizbech one time. And then, that day, meaning the seventh day, they would encircle it, seven times. So, Hachyam Ravucha Mishmeid the Rabbi Lazar. So I'm telling you what your father said, B'shem Rabbi Lazar, and that is Belulav. They would encircle it, and what would they be holding? They'd be holding a Lulav. Aye, what about Arava? No, the mitzvah of Arava is not Benetila. The mitzvah of Arava is Bezikifa. Okay, in other words, the mitzvah is to take the Arava and just simply lean it on the Mizbeach. And oh, by the way, and we're going to see the Rashi later on this morning. If the mitzvah is Bezikifa, how many Kohanim need to be involved in it? One. Right. In other words, now it no longer becomes a mitzvah on everybody. The mitzvah is just simply to take an Arava and place it on the side of the Mizbeach. That's Zikifa. But what Rav Elazar is quoted as saying over here is that the mitzvah to go around the Mizbeach, so that's Belulav. And that means then that the Arav is Bezikifa. Eitzvei Lulav Dochas HaShabbos Betchilasa V'Arava B'Sofa. So the Gemara now quotes the Braisa. So as far as Lulav is concerned, it's going to override the Shabbos when the first day coincides with Shabbos, as we already established back in our Mishnah. Arava is going to override the Shabbos Bas B'Sofa. That's when the seventh day coincides with Shabbos. Again, as I said yesterday, in our fixed calendars, it will not happen. The seventh day of Sukkot will never coincide with Shabbos. But again, that's our fixed calendar. Prior to the calendar being fixed, it could happen. Now, I know in yesterday's daf, we deliberated that very point. Okay, so, but nevertheless. So, Pamachas, Chal Shvi Shal Arav Elios B'Shabbos. So, there was an occasion where the seventh day fell out on Shabbos. Ve'eviu, Marbio Shal Arav Me'erev Shabbos. And so, what they did is that they brought the Aravos prior to Shabbos, v'inichum be'azara, and they brought into the Azara, v'hikiru ben baitusim. And now the baitusim realized that, oh wait one second, they have the Aravos in the Azara, because they're going to be doing the mitzvah of Arava. Now what were the baitusim opposed to? The entire mitzvah, right? What bothered them is this whole institution of Arava. What are you doing, Arava? There is no such mitzvah of Arava. Now again, just reintroducing ourselves to the baitusim, so the Baitusim were a sectarian set of Jewish people that lived during Baisheni. Their grand rebbe was Sadok, one of the Talmidim of Antignus Ishocho. Right, Antignus Ishocho had two Talmidim. He had Baitus and he had Sadok. So one of his Talmidim started the Baitusim. The other one started the Sadukim. And basically, the two groups are Bishita Achas. They're basically going with one thought process, which is this Torah Shabbat Peh is not. A full rejection of the Mesorah. In other words, well, Torah Shabbat, fine. Well, that will retain. But anything that's Torah Shabbat Peh, so we reject it. And so as a rejection of Torah Shabbat Peh, so obviously a Rava now is going to get rejected. A Rava is not based in the Torah. It is Torah Shabbat Peh. It is Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. So what they wanted to do is that when they saw the Rava's coming in, so the Baitusim said, you know what? We're gonna stop the mitzvah of a Rava happening because we don't believe it's a mitzvah. And so what did they do? So So they took the Aravas and they put it under the rocks. Now this happens to be, and I don't mean this as a compliment, but it was a brilliant move. Because basically now what it's going to do is that it's going to not allow the Chachamim, the Purushim, to go ahead and to take it. It's under the rocks are Muksa. So Lamachar Hikirubam Ame Arts Vishamtumi Tachas Avanim. Now the next day you have a group of Ame Ha'aretz. Now Ame Ha'aretz who were sympathetic to the Purushim. In other words, they were traditionalists. They were supporting Torah Shabbat Peh, and it happens to also be, it's a funny story, there's a lot of dynamics to the story. It also happens to be that this group of people were Ame Ha'aretz, which means that they weren't that careful about Halacha, they weren't that knowledgeable about Halacha. But in principle, right, they're with the traditionalists. They're with the Purushim. So what they do is that they've removed the stones. So v'shamtim tachas avanim ve'invim kohanim v'zakfum b'tzidam mizbech. And then the kohanim came along and they put onto the side of the mizbech l'fishem baitusim modim shechivur arava doches haShabbos. According to the baitusim, chivur arava is not going to override the Shabbos. The truth of the matter is, you could say it even stronger, meaning it's not going to override Shabbos. According to the baitusim, the mitzvah doesn't exist altogether. But certainly the idea that you're not going to be doing it on Shabbos. So, Ama b'netilahi. So the Gemara says, okay, so but what we got from the whole story is that it was netilah. In other words, the mitzvah of arava is netilah, to take the arava. So tiyufta. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, so what, when all said and done, so it comes out now that the Gemara's conclusion is that the mitzvah of arava is in fact to be done al yedei hanetila. In other words, it's not zekifa, but rather it's netilah. The ela nitchu. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we are now on the threshold of trying to discover is the following. What we have just finished discussing is that we introduced ourselves to the mitzvah of arava. The question that we dealt with, a very fundamental question, super basic, is the mitzvah done al yedei netilah or is it done al yedei zekifa? So we went back and forth on this issue. And the Gemara's conclusion is that it is to be done al yedei hanetilah. So the Gemara says, fine, ve'ela nitchu. So now the Gemara wants to know the following. So it comes out that since it is to be done al yedei netilah, so what we should be doing nowadays is the following. If in the event that the seventh day falls out on Shabbos, so what we should be doing is that we should be taking the Arava. Meaning in the Beis HaMikdash, they took the Arava on Shabbos, so we should also take the Arava on Shabbos as well. Now when we say we, which we are we talking about? Who's the we? So the we over here is a reference to the B'nai Eretz Yisrael. Meaning in Eretz Yisrael, where they were firmly aware of which day the seventh day was. They didn't have the Sfeika D'Yoma that they had back in Bavel. So they knew exactly what the seventh day was. So if the seventh day were now to coincide with Shabbos, so that means that what they should still be doing this mitzvah of Arava. And let me just further clarify the Gemara's point over here. And that is even after Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, it goes without saying. Meaning, it's a mitzvah min Torah to be noto the Arava. But even without the Beis HaMikdash, but still, there's a Zechel HaMikdash. And now, on the seventh day, what it should do is it should override the Shabbos. And again, I just wanted to try to be as clear as possible. Bizmaninu, nowadays with a fixed calendar, the question becomes an academic question. It's not a practical question. Because we're never going to have a situation where the seventh day coincides with Shabbos. That's part of the very fabric of a fixed calendar. The design of the fixed calendar is that it never is going to happen. It's never going to coincide. Because of the principle of Lo Adu Rosh. That Rosh Hashanah will not be coming out on a Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. So based on that, Hoshana Rabbah will never come out on a Shabbos. So for us, it becomes now an academic point. But nevertheless, the Gemara wants to know, but why not? Meaning, obviously, the Gemara's question now goes back to a time where prior to the fixing of the calendar, so now it is possible that the seventh day will come out on the Shabbos and in Eretz Yisrael. So now what we should do is we should override the Shabbos with this mitzvah of Arava. And the question obviously is predicated on the fact that they don't. Meaning that it's happened and it doesn't override the Shabbos. The Gemara gives a fascinating answer. So the Gemara says, ve'ela nidchu kevan da'anan lo dachinan, inu nami lo dachi. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why in Eretz Yisrael it's not going to override the Shabbos. Since we in Bavel, remember there are two principal communities that we're talking here about as we go through the Gemara, and that is a community in Bavel and a community in Eretz Yisrael. Happens to be today's daf, we're really going to be seeing the dynamics and the relationship between the B'nai Bavel and the B'nai Eretz Yisrael. So the Bavli is saying like this, since in Bavel we don't do Arava on Shabbos, meaning when the seventh day coincides with Shabbos, we don't. Now let's fill in the blank. Why don't we? Why in Bavel don't we? So presumably we go back to what we learned in yesterday's daf. Because in Bavel we don't know for sure it's the seventh day. Meaning we have what's called Sfeika D'Yuma. So it may be the seventh day, but it might not be the seventh day. So now I'm going to override the Shabbos based on the fact that it may be the seventh day. We're not going to say that. So in Bavel, we're not going to do it. But now what the Gemara says is that, but because we don't do it here in Bavel, so Eretz Yisrael, in sympathy to us, now sympathy might not be the best way to say it, but Eretz Yisrael is going to basically align themselves with us. Since we don't override the Shabbos with this mitzvah of Arava, so therefore in Eretz Yisrael they don't as well. Now wait 1 second. You'll see more wagging. Okay? So, v'ha yom tov rishon delidan lo dachiv lididu dache. So the Gemara says, okay, so we have to go back to a point that we talked about yesterday, daf, and now we're going to revisit. And not only are we going to revisit the point, but we're going to conclude differently today than we did yesterday. And that was, remember, the Gemara said, what about lulav when the first day coincides with Shabbos? Now that happens. The first day of Sukkot does coincide with Shabbos. right? So under those circumstances, so now in Bava, we're not going to be taking lulav that first day, and again because of Sfeika D'Yuma. Now you remember in yesterday's daf, the Gemara says, "What about Eretz Yisrael?" The Gemara says, "In Eretz Yisrael, they would, because in Eretz Yisrael, they knew exactly what when day one was. So in Eretz Yisrael, that they would." So the Gemara says, "So now I don't understand. So you're telling me that as far as a Rav is concerned, Eretz Yisrael is going to be following Minag Bavel. So what about Lulav? Remember yesterday we said Eretz Yisrael doesn't follow Minag Bavel? So the Gemara says, and this is going to be a rather shocking revelation, but the Gemara says it. So the Gemara says, V'lididu dachi, Amre, we're on the very top of Mem Dal Med Aleph, so lididu nami lo dachi. No, in Eretz Yisrael, it's not going to be doche. In Eretz Yisrael, they are not going to be taking lulav on the first day, even when that first day, when that first day coincides with Shabbos. Why? Again, once again, to align themselves with the B'nai Bavel. So the Gemara's conclusion now is that in Eretz Yisrael, so it's not, we're not, Rava is not overriding Shabbos, lulav is not overriding Shabbos, and it does not matter if a Rava falls out, if the seventh day of Sukkot, if a Shana Rava falls out on Shabbos, a Rava is not going to be Docha. Why? So that we can align ourselves with Bava. Same thing now with lulav, even though this goes against yesterday's conclusion. But as I pointed out yesterday, the Gemara yesterday didn't conclude, the Gemara yesterday was mid-thought. Now the thought is finished. The Gemara says, same thing with lulav. When the first day of Sukkot coincides with Shabbos, and there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to go ahead and to take lulav, so it's not going to override. It's not going to override in Bavel because of Sfeika D'Yoma. And on top of that, it's also not going to override in Eretz Yisrael. Why? So that Eretz Yisrael aligns himself with Bavel. Look at Rashi right here on the top of the Amud. David, this addresses your question a little bit. Rashi writes over here, Lididu nami lo dache, shalola sos Yisrael agudos agudos. V'nira kishtei toros. So Rashi says over here, the problem becomes the following. If in Bavel they do it one way, and in Eretz Yisrael they do it another way. So now what it looks like is that it looks like we are factioned and we are compartmentalized into two different religions. And so therefore it does not want to look like we have multiple Torahs. And so therefore everything becomes more uniform and more standardized. And as a result of that, so that's what Ebenei Eretz Yisrael are going to follow Minag Bava. Now, so there are a couple of obvious questions, and I don't have the best answers, and I'm here to raise the questions, and I'm just unfortunately not here to provide the best of answers. So number one, so why is Bavel shaping the Minag of Eretz Yisrael? Well, in other words, I guess the answer is, meaning because there's no alternative. We can't have Eretz Yisrael shaping the Minag of Bavel, because in Bavel, the reality is that there really is a Sfeika D'Yuma. So once there's a Sfeika D'Yuma in Bavel, so I can't have Bavel conforming to Eretz Yisrael, so then the only alternative would be to have Eretz Yisrael conform to Bavel. I understand it's not, right? It sounds strange, but I guess you have to say that. But then to Ben's question, which I'm going to ask, right, another Ben. So I'm going to ask the same question, and I don't have a wonderful answer for this. And that, of course, is that if everything is for the purpose of uniformity, so then I don't understand. There's a built-in difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they observe one day of Yantav, even post-Chorban, meaning they still have Kfiya D'Yarcha. And in Bavel, we observe 2 days of Yantav. So, and if the whole goal over here is to create uniformity, so the very nature of Yantav already distinguishes itself between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. So to say that we're doing this in order to standardize and make everyone uniform, but it's just simply not the case, meaning the Yantavs are already different. Okay, so to that, I don't have a wonderful answer. I raised the question. It obviously needs a lot more. Yeah. Okay, fine. Okay. So, all right, so Nami Lo Dachi. Ve'ela. So now we're back in the Gemara. We're Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, top line. Ve'ela Kashi Ani Tarte. Didni Chada. So the Gemara says, okay, so now that we're here, so we have just learned together that after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, in Bavel, it wasn't overriding Shabbos. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not overriding Shabbos. Not a Rava, not Lulav. So the Gemara says, so with all that stated, so the Gemara says, so I now have the following question. Now, we asked this question yesterday, but we have to revisit. because we need a new answer. So let's first reintroduce ourselves to the question. So we talked about how they would bring their lulav to Har HaBayis in anticipation of Shabbos, prior to Shabbos, so that they would be able to take lulav. And we learned in another brayso lebeis haKnesses. Another brayso says they would bring it to Shul. Now, which one is it? Is it Har HaBayis or is it Shul? Which one? Now remember the answer that we gave yesterday? That was a great answer. The answer we gave yesterday is that, well, one brisa or one mishnah is talking about when there was a Beis HaMikdash, a Zara, and then after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, a Beis HaKnesses. But now you realized that that answer no longer is going to work. Because we've just concluded that post Churban Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah of lulav is not overriding Shabbos at all. So now this answer obviously doesn't work. They wouldn't be bringing their lulav to the Beis HaKnesses because the minag, Eretz Yisrael, following the minag of Bavel, is that it doesn't override the Shabbos. Okay. So, but, and the Gemara says, so now, so now what we're going to have to say is that these two Mishnayos are describing the Tkufa, the time period of the Beis HaMikdash, v'lo kasha, kam b'mikdash, kam b'gvulan. And the answer is that it depends where you are. If you're in the Beis HaMikdash, so then you'd bring your lulav to the Azara. And during the Tkufa of the Beis HaMikdash, you happen not to be in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, by the way, that's a funny sentence, right? In other words, there's a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Everyone should be in the area of the Beis HaMikdash, but for whatever reason, you're not in the area of the Beis HaMikdash, so then you bring your lulav to Shul. Okay, we're gonna have to give that answer once we've established that after Churban Beis HaMikdash, nobody overrode the Shabbos with the mitzvah of lulav. Okay, Amalei Abai LaRava, Maishan Lulav Davina LeShiva Zech LaMikdash, Maishan Harava Davina LeShiva Zech LaMikdash. Okay, so now that we've established that post Churban Beis HaMikdash, so there is still a mitzvah Zech LaMikdash to take lulav for all 7 days, and there's still also Zech LaMikdash Shadua Rava. So the Gemara now asks a question. I previewed this question at the beginning of today's daf, but now the Gemara asks it point blank. So obviously our mitzvah of taking lulav all 7 days nowadays is Zech LaMikdash. It reminds us that when there was the Beis HaMikdash, we took the lulav in the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days. Okay, now let's go to a Rava. So on the mitzvah of a Rava, so there is a mitzvah to do a Rava when there was the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days. Now that the Beis HaMikdash, now post Beis HaMikdash, now we do a Zech LaMikdash. How many days do we do a Zech LaMikdash? 1 day. Well, I don't understand. Lulav in the Beis HaMikdash was 7, Zech LaMikdash is 7. A Rava in the Beis HaMikdash was 7 and the Zech is only 1 day? What? So it's a tough question. So Zech LaMikdash, Maishna, a Rava, Dolav Din, Leshiva, Zech LaMikdash. Amalei Hova, Adam, Yotze, Yidei Chavaso. But a Rava Shebelulav. So the Gemara starts off with an answer. The Gemara is really not going to like this answer. Well, you know you are getting a Rava in every day because you know the Rava is part of the Dalminim. So the Gemara says, what? Amalei Ahu Mishum Lulav Hu Deka Avid Lei. What are you talking about? The Rava that's in the Lulav, that's part of the Mitzvah of Lulav. The Mitzvah of Lulav has four components. One of the four components is a Rava, but that's a Rava not as the Mitzvah of a Rava. That's a Rava as per the Mitzvah of the Dalminim. What are you talking about? So So the Gemara says, well, maybe the minhag should be, you take the arava with the lulav as part of your dalaminim, put it down, and then pick up the arava in of itself, right? Maybe that's it. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, okay, if that were the minhag, so that would be the minhag, but that's not the minhag, nobody's doing that. So Amrav Zid, Mishmei de Rava, Lulav da Raisa, Avdin and Shiva, Zech LaMikdash, Arava de Rabbanan, Lo Avdin and La Shiva, Zech LaMikdash. So the Gemara says, well, the mitzvah of lulav is a mitzvah d'oraisa, the mitzvah of a rav is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. And again, the Gemara loses its mind. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Laman. So according to Abishal, it's a drasha in the pasuk. And ila rabbanan hilchasa gemirila. And if you go like the chachamim, well, it's not a drasha in the pasuk, but of course it's min haTorah. It's what's called halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. So here we go. The Gemara reviews for us. So this grouping of the halach of Eser Netiyas, I'm not going over it again right now, and the mitzvah of a rav and the mitzvah of Nisa Chamayim, they are halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. which means that of course it's min ha-Torah. So what are you telling me that lulav is min ha-Torah and a rav is not min ha-Torah? It's only min de-Rabbanan. The Gemara says that's wrong. It's not correct. So Ella, okay. So this is now round three. The Gemara is still trying to understand, struggling to understand how come lulav zech lemikdash is 7 days, a rav zech lemikdash is only 1 day. What's happening? So Ella Amrav Zib Mishmei the Rav lulav the islay ikar min ha-Torah. Bigvulin avdin le shiva zech lemikdash. Arava delays le ikar min haTorah. Bigvulin lo avdin shiva zech lemikdash. So the Gemara says, okay, so the difference is as follows. When it comes to the lulav, so lulav in the base of mikdash, that's a mitzvah kol shiva. But there also happens to be a mitzvah of lulav, bigvulin, outside the base of mikdash. There's a mitzvah of lulav for day number one. So now, this is not exactly how the Gemara says it, but I think I'm right about this, and forgive me if I'm not, but look, if we only did Zeich LeMikdash of Lulav 1 day, who's going to recognize it? Anyway, we're taking Lulav 1 day. So in other words, in order to have a proper Zeich LeMikdash, to remind everybody that this is done Zeich LeMikdash, you have to do it more than 1 day. Now, I know it could have been two, could have been three, but the point is that, okay, in other words, in the Mikdash, they do it 7. We need to do it 7. In other words, to do it 1 is simply not recognizable because we already have a mitzvah. But when it comes to our Rava, there's no mitzvah of a Rava outside the base of Mikdash. So if all you do, but just do it 1 day, okay, fine. Why are we doing it? There's no mitzvah outside the base of Mikdash. Answer is Zechel Mikdash. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yes. The Rambam writes very clearly. From the Gemara over here, it's super clear as well. The Rambam writes very clearly that the Halakha Moshe Misinai is a Doraisa. Yes. Amrish Lakish Kohanim Balimomim Nechnasim Bein Ulam Lezbechid Elatzos Ba'arava. Okay. Now, so far, today, so the basics that we covered is the mitzvah of a rava is what? Netilah zekifa? It's machlo, because the Gemara seems to be concluding on the side of netilah. It means that you have to take the arava. Okay. Number two, second basic topic that we covered today is to understand why the arava zech lemikdash is only done 1 day. Why only on Hoshana Rabbah? And the answer is because that's all you need for zech lemikdash. Okay. Number three. Which is what we started, and let me just restart. Amar Ish Lakish, Kohanim Balei Momim, Nechnasim Bein HaUlam Ulam Mizbech. So as far as Kohanim who are Balmum, they're blemished, they can't do the Avoda. So they can go between the Ulam and the Mizbech in order to fulfill the mitzvah of a Rava. Amar Rav Yochanan Mi Amra. So Rav Yochanan says, what? Rav Yochanan's looking around the room. He's looking around the Beis Medrash. Who said that? To which the Gemara has got the best answer. Mi amra ha'iu amar. Who said that, Rav Yochanan? Here's the best news flash of the day. You said that. So the amar Rabbi Asi, amar Rav Yochanan, mishum Rabbi Nechonya, be'ish bikas, be'ish chorasan, eser netios. And arava, and isa chamayim, halach l'moshe misinai. Right, reminder, you're the one who told us that arava is halach l'moshe misinai. What do you mean, who said it? Ela mi amra b'netila dilma b'zikifa. So the Gemara says, correction. How do I know that it's to be done binitila, shaking the arava? Now I say shaking the arava. In other words, the mitzvah of arava is to pick it up and to carry it and okay, let's add nanuin. Not totally convinced and sure that part is necessary, but let's just say it. And happens to be that Rashi also says it as well. So the Gemara says, look, I know there's a mitzvah of arava. But what I'm wondering is what is the mitzvah of arava? So if you're talking about the mitzvah of arava is netila, so then I understand it. Netila involves all the kohanim. Now I said that earlier, but now the Gemara over here is really spelling it out. If the mitzvah of arava is netila, it involves all kohanim. Now all kohanim would also mean bali momim as well. But if the mitzvah is zikifa, which means to just simply take the arava and lean it on the mizbech, it does not involve all the kohanim. And that means to say that the Kohen Balmum has no business being in that area. Meaning that area, Bein Ha'ulam and Bein HaMizbech, between the foyer of the actual Beis HaMikdash and between the area of the Mizbech, that is hallow ground. I mean, it's the Azara. But not only is it the Azara, it's Azara that's dedicated to Avoda. And if you're not able to do the Avoda, if you're not doing the Avoda, you have no business being there. So if you're Kohen Balmum, And the mitzvah of a rava is just the kifa, you have no business being there. What about the mitzvah of a rava? If the mitzvah of a rava is bis kifa, you'll have one kohen taking the Arava, I'm leaning on the Mizbech. There's no need for all the Kohanim to pick it up and to take it. So, Dilma b'zikifa, so mi amra b'bali mumim, Dilma b'tmimim. And that's what Rav Yochanan's wondering. Rav Yochanan's saying, I'm not wondering about the mitzvah of Arava. I know about the mitzvah of Arava. I taught about the mitzvah of Arava. It's halach l'moshe mi-Sinai. What I'm not sure about is how to perform the mitzvah of Arava. Is it al yidei netila if it's al yidei zekifa? And again, just one more time. If it's al yidei netila, so that means all Kohanim need to do it. And then I can entertain the idea that Bali Mumim could go ahead and take it because they have a mitzvah of Arava. They shouldn't be bein ha'ulam and bein ha'mizbeach. Yeah, but that's if they're not... That's if they have no business being there. But if there's a mitzvah of Arava and they're taking the mitzvah of Arava, fine. I can entertain that. But if the mitzvah of Arava is zekifa, I don't need all the Kohanim. Right? A representative. Rashi over here even describes one Kohen just simply needs to take the Arava, lean it on the Mizbeach, and the mitzvah is done. Which of course means that the Bali Mumim don't have to be involved, and the Bali Mumim shouldn't be Beina Ulam and Beina Mizbeach. Okay, good. But not enough to allow a Baal Mum to be in that area. Itmar Rav Yochan Rav Shua Ban Levi Chara Mar Rava Yisor Nevim Chara Mar Rava Minag Nevim. Okay, now we no longer have a Beis Hamikdash, and even when there was a Beis Hamikdash, outside of the area of Beis Hamikdash, Minag was is that people would do some commemorative Arava. Okay, now I say commemorative. That's not a legal term, right? So what the Gemara now is going to introduce advance is that there was a minhag to go ahead and to do Arava outside the Beis Hamikdash, and then we can assume that the same minhag continued extended after Churban Beis Hamikdash. Okay. Now, the Gemara is going to say it in one of two ways. So Rav Yochanan Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, in other words, we know who the participants in the debate is, despite the fact that we're not sure who said which position. In the moment, the Gemara is going to clarify. But Chanamar Arava Yisod Nevi'im, one says that Arava is Yisod Nevi'im. In other words, it was established by the Nevi'im. V'chanamar Arava Minag Nevi'im. And the other one says, no, it was a Minag, it was a practice that was started by the Nevi'im. Okay. Now, it sounds awfully similar, doesn't it? Yisod Nevi'im, Minag Nevi'im, what's the difference between the two? Hold that thought for just a moment, we're going to come back to that. But anyway, this time to Rav Yochanan, who Amar Yisod Nevi'im? It's Rav Yochanan who says that it's Yisod Nevi'im. The Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rav Yochanan, Arava Yisod Nevi'im who? This time. Okay, and the Gemara just simply has the Masorah. That Rav Yochanan calls it a Yisod HaNevi'im. So now, what difference would it make whether it's Yisod Nevi'im or Minig Nevi'im? Because those terms sound awfully similar to one another. Meaning, regardless of whether you call it Yisod or Minig, obviously if the Nevi'im say do it, we're going to do it. So what's the difference? So Rashi points out over here, as will become evident in the Gemara coming up in just a moment, the difference is going to be whether or not we make a bracha. So Rashi says like this, if it's Yisod Nevi'im, so that means that the Chachamim instituted that we're going to be taking the Arava outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And I say outside, again, I just want to be clear because I myself took some time to wrap my head around this. Meaning, Nevi'im under discussion over here are Chag HaZechari Malachi. Historically, when did they live? Beginning of Bayis Sheni. So what are they instituting? I mean, there's the Beis HaMikdash. And there's a mitzvah of Arava Min HaTorah. What are they instituting? So it's got to be that their institution is that for whatever reason, you're not in the Beis HaMikdash, so you should be doing, as a minhag, you should be doing Arava. As a minhag. Now again, what the strength of that minhag, so again, it's either Yisod Nevi'im or Minhag Nevi'im. Okay, but that's what they instituted. And then obviously, 420 years later, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so that's going to still continue. Meaning, even though there's no longer a mitzvah per se in the Beis HaMikdash, but that's going to continue. Now, in my head, and I don't want to give you all my thoughts right now because we have a daf to do. But I can easily make a distinction that during the Beis HaMikdash, so the practice of taking Arava outside the Beis HaMikdash is grounded in either Yisod Nevi'im, Minag Nevi'im. After Churban Beis HaMikdash, I could look at it totally differently. In other words, the way you could look at it is, it's Zecher LeMikdash. Meaning maybe it takes on a whole different role altogether. Okay. Notwithstanding. Okay. That's too much of my thoughts that I just spilled. But notwithstanding, the point of the Gemara is that there's going to be a difference between whether we're going to say it's Minag Nevi'im or Yisod Nevi'im. If it's minag nevi'im, so that means to say that the chag is a chayim malachi, they said, look, this is a good practice. But it's a minag. Meaning they're not instituting us to do it, but we're doing it because that's a practice that was started by the nevi'im. Rashi says you're not going to make a bracha. You don't make a bracha on a minag. Ah. But if it's yisod nevi'im, that means that chag is a chayim malachi, what did they do? They instituted, this was a formal institution that the chachamim told us to do. Like Chanukah. Like Purim, which means now you make a bracha. You make a bracha, some mitzvah on something that the rabbis instituted for us to do. Right? Asher kiddushon be mitzvah sof. Meaning once it's an institution, it falls under the category of lo sasor. That's Rashi's language over here. When the Torah says, do not deviate from what the chachamim say, so that's when they make a takana. But if it's just a minhag, so it doesn't fall under the category of lo sasor. Okay, I strongly encourage, by the way, this idea over here, that a minhag doesn't fall under the category of lo sasor. Look at the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, where the Rambam does not seem to indicate that that's in fact so. The first parak of Hilchos Mamrim in the Rambam is where I would strongly encourage you to look at for more on this particular topic. It's not. In other words, again, the halacha Moshe Sinai is the arava in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the halacha Moshe Sinai. So that when you're in the Beis HaMikdash and you're either encircling the Mizbech or leaning the Arava on the Mizbech, that's halacha Moshe Sinai. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, an institution was started by the Nevi'im that whoever's not in the Beis HaMikdash, and again, it's an oddity. Because during the Beis HaMikdash, you have a mitzvah to be in the Beis HaMikdash. But for whatever reason, you're outside, the Nevi'im said, do Arava also. That's the minag nevim yisod nevim, and then after the korban, that's gonna continue. Okay, so now, I'm sorry, I just lost my spot in the Gemara. We just established that Rav Yochanan is the one who says that it's yisod nevim. So tis time. Amalei Rabbi Zera la Rabbi Abo. Mi amar Rav Yochanan hachiv amar Rav Yochanan mishum Rav Nechunya ish bekas beis charasan esen etzias a Rav of nisach amay malachal Moshe Sinai. So he says, what? What are you talking about? Minag nevim yisod nevim. Right? Did you just not forget what Rav Yochanan taught us moments earlier? So the Gemara says, "Yishtomim kishachada." Now, originally he was taken back by the question. So v'amr shichum v'chazum v'yasim. So he starts off with an answer, which is, "Yes, it's halach l'moshim misinai, but they forgot it, and we're talking about now the reinstitution. Look, they went to Galus for 70 years between the first and the second temple. They were in Galus, and then after having spent 70 years in Galus, so they forgot about this mitzvah of Arava and Chag Zecharim Malachi. When it says that they instituted it, it just means that they instituted something that was halacha Moshe Sinai. That's the Gemara's first answer. The Gemara says, "Boy, do I not like that answer." Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachiv Amar Rav Yochanan Dilchon Amri Dilchon He. So the Gemara Rav Yochanan says something which admittedly is a little bit cryptic. I'll come back and I'll explain it in just a moment. It's basically Rav Yochanan acknowledging, I thought Eretz Yisrael was like the epicenter of learning. I'm not right. Bavel's really the epicenter of learning. And I'll explain that better in just a moment. So lo kasha. So the Gemara says, it's not difficult. And that, and basically, I'm sorry, let me just for a moment. What Rav Yochanan is acknowledging is, I'm not ready to entertain the idea that they forgot something in Bavel. Meaning Bavel is a Torah epicenter. They're not forgetting anything in Bavel. So the Gemara says, okay, so scratch that answer and we have to give a new answer. Kam b'mikdash, kam b'gvulin. Okay. I know this is the way I presented it, but then again, I had the advantage of knowing the Gemara's conclusion. And that is that in the base of Mikdash, halach l'moshe misinai. B'gvulin, minag nevi'im, or yisod nevi'im. Okay, that's the Gemara's conclusion. Okay, just a moment on Rav Yochanan acknowledging that Bavel was the epicenter of Torah. So it's predicated on the following. Rashi goes through everything. I'm just going to give you a quick summary. I'm going to give you just a headlines of Rashi. And that is as follows. We start with Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana was living in Bavel. He was a student of Rav. And there was a Moser living in Bavel, and Rav Kahana killed him. Okay, it's a wild story. The story is told at the last parak of Baba Kama. So you'll find it in the 10th parak of Baba Kama. And he did the right thing, right? Again, there's many more details in the story in terms of what the Moser did, and Rav Kahana asked from Rav what he should do. He consulted with Rav. Anyway, without going through any more of the details, Rav Kahana killed him, and Rav Kahana needed to be extradited. actually, he needed refuge. In other words, the government was after him in Bavel, and so he seeked refuge. And where did he seek asylum? Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So and he lived the rest of his years in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. In Eretz Yisrael, so he encountered Rav Yochanan, who was living in Eretz Yisrael at the time. And Rav Yochanan had many questions that he wasn't sure what the answer was. Rav Kahana knew the answer to everything. Everything that Rav Yochanan asked, Rav Kahana said, oh, we know. We know what the answer is. Which then prompted, meaning now you understand, Rav Yochanan saying, wow, I thought Eretz Yisrael was really the center of Torah. Oh, I'm now rethinking everything. Bavel's really the center of Torah? Okay. Now, we obviously have Torah over here, but Bavel, they have it even with more precision. And Rashi, there's parts of Rashi I'm not even going through in terms of the Galus and Pesukim and Sefer Ezra. Okay. That's fine. That's, for our purposes, that's enough. Which then, that's why Rav Yochanan says, I can't accept the idea that they forgot about it. And they needed a reminder. So that's why the Gemara advanced this new answer. Halach l'Moshe Misina of Arava in the Beis HaMikdash. The Yesod Nevi'im Minag Nevi'im of Arava, that's Begvulin. That's outside the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rabbi Ami. Okay. We find ourselves now in the very top of Mem Dalam and Beis, Arava Tzricha Shir. Okay, so now some more details regarding the mitzvah of Arava. Okay, so again, when I say the mitzvah of Arava now, so everyone understands now, there's the mitzvah of Arava min HaTorah that's in the Beis HaMikdash. There's the minag or yisod of Arava outside the Beis HaMikdash. And then there's what we do nowadays that now there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash, so we're doing a Zeichel HaMikdash of Arava. Okay. Which one of the Aravas are we describing right now? Maybe all three. Maybe. So anyway, so Arava tzricha shir, so the Arava needs a shir. It needs an amount. So ve'ena nitelas ella bifnei atzma, and it needs to be taken by itself. Ve'ena adam yosei dechavasa barava shebelulav. In other words, the rava with the lulav, that doesn't work. So kevdam amar nitelas ella bifnei atzma pshita de'ena adam yosei barava shebelulav. So the Gemara says now it seems to be a little bit superfluous. In other words, once you say you have to be doing it independently, so then obviously the rava and the lulav won't work. So the Gemara says no ma'ad tema hani milehecha delo agbe v'hadar agbe ava agbe v'hadar agbe emalo kamash malan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I could have made an argument or at least thought that here, take the Dalamin and pick it up. This is L'Shem Lula. Put it down. Pick it up again. This is L'Shem Arava. Right? I might have thought that works. Kamash Malan, that does not work. And Rav Yitzchak argues and he says, no, that a person could be Yotze with a Rava Shebelulav. Okay, so a machlokis in terms of whether the Arava that's with your Lulav can also double as the mitzvah or minag of Arava. Kama shi'ureha. Right, how much arava do you need? Okay. We colloquially describe it as oshanas. Okay. It gets a little bit confusing because, well, for whatever reason, meaning the day, the seventh day is called Hoshana Rabbah, and probably in line with the tefillos that we say on that day. So therefore, what we describe as the aravas, we call them hoshanas. Okay, fine. But it's the arava. So the kama shi'ureha. So what is the shir? So Amar Rav Nachman, Gimel Ba'adi Allah, Lachin. So it's got to be three stems. Rav Sheshes Amar Afilu Alei Achad Ubad Achad. So it can be even a leaf and a stem. Now the Gemara at first didn't understand that. So Alei Achad Ubad Achad Sakadatcha. What? One leaf, one stem? What are you doing? So Ela Ema Afilu Alei Achad Bi Vad Echad. Okay, so it's one stem that has just but one leaf on it. Okay, so your Oshanas don't have to be they don't have to be picture perfect. In fact, just far from it. You can have one stem, you can have one leaf on it, and that will be good. Okay. And it's funny, the Gemara says three, Minag Yisrael to take five. Right, how do we get from the Gemara three to Minag Yisrael taking five? Kabbalistic influences, for sure. Amar Aibu. Okay, so we're going to get a couple stories regarding Aibu. So first of all, who is Aibu? Aibu is the father of Rav. So he was in front of Rav Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, and a person came along, and he had a Rava. So Shakol Chavit Chavit V'lo Barech. So he took it, and he was Chovet. Rashi writes over here, Nanuin. Okay, in other words, he treated like a lulav. Now remember, right, in the first half of today's daf, we deliberated what exactly is the mitzvah of a rava. So is it Zakifa? Is it Netila? So obviously over here, he felt it more like to be like a Netila. And so he shook it. On top of that, he didn't make a bracha. Now, why didn't he make a bracha? Because Sovereign Minig Nevim, because he was of the position that it was a Minig Nevim, meaning to the Gemara's question of whether it's Yisod Nevim or Minig Nevim. So he felt that it was Minig Nevim. So Aibu V'chizkia ben Ebarta de Rav. Now, Aibu and Chizkia, who happened to be the grandchildren of Rav. Now, I know it's confusing because we just described Aibu, the father of Rav. So this is now three generations later. So Aiso Arav L'kame de Rav. So they saw an Arava being brought to Rav. So Chavid Chavid V'la Baruch. So again, he did the Na'anun with it. And he didn't make a bracha kasavra Minag Nevim because he's of the position that it's Minag Nevim. Okay. Now, the Gemara's conclusion over here seems to be pretty clear, that we do a Rava nowadays. We're doing it because it was part of the institution that the Nevi'im did, and in terms of how exactly to properly identify that institution, do not call it Yisod Nevi'im, although that is an opinion, but rather the correct way to describe it is Minag Nevi'im. And the difference whether it's Minag or Yisod, if it were Yisod, it's an institution, which means that we need to be making a brach on it, like Hanukkah, like Purim. But it's not Yisod as per the Gemara's conclusion, right? Rav clearly was of the position that's Minag Nevi'im. And because it's a Minag and it's not a Takana, so therefore you don't make a bracha on it. You see this really long Tosfos over here on the Amud Beis? So here is a short version of a really lengthy discussion. And I encourage you to do the lengthier discussion. And not just to go with my cliff notes of Tosfos. But the cliff notes basically are as follows. The Gemara seems to be really, really clear that if something is a minug, so you don't make a bracha on it. Now, is that accurate? That's the Gemara's conclusion. Of course it's accurate. Is that the whole picture? It's not the whole picture. There are minhagim where of course we make brachas on it, and there are minhagim that we don't make brachas on it. So let me just go over the range and the spectrum. Right? Second day of Yontif in Galus, right? What does the Gemara say? And we're gonna see it in Beitza that coming up. Minug avosenu biadenu. The Bnei Bavel, the earlier generations, did 2 days of Yontif. We continue and perpetuate that minug. Minug avosenu biyadenu. So we do 2 days of Yontif. But the Gemara describes it as a minug. And yet, on the second day of Yontif, we're going to be making every single bracha. The bracha on Kiddush and second day of Pesach, we're making a bracha of matzah. Second day of Rosh Hashanah, we're making a bracha on the shofar, etc., etc. So, and I understand the second day of Rosh Hashanah may not be the best example, but you understand. In other words, it's a minhag, and we're going to be making brachas. Okay. We just learned together, that's one side of the spectrum. We just learned on the other side of the spectrum, the minhag of a rava. It's minhag nevi'im. We're not going to make a bracha. And nobody makes a bracha. Meaning that's the accepted practice. We don't make a bracha, as per the Gemara's conclusion. Okay, so, Yontif Sheni, Shogalios, Minag, we do make a bracha. And nowadays, we don't make a bracha, right? So there are different minhagim. Now, Tosa says, what about, let's say, for example, the minhag of Halal on Rosh Chodesh? It's a minhag. It's not a mitzvah. Okay, so do we make a bracha on Halal on Rosh Chodesh? So that's the lengthy discussion over here within Tosfos, meaning it is a minhag, it's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah of Halal is on the Gemara in Erechin and Daf Yud goes through all the requisites that are necessary in order to be saying Halal as a mitzvah. Albeit it's a mitzvah derabbanan, it doesn't matter. In other words, it's a mitzvah. So, but once we get to the point of it being a mitzvah, so then obviously you make a bracha. So on Chanukah, on Sukkot, on the first day of Pesach, it's a mitzvah. So you make a bracha. But on Rosh Chodesh, it's not a mitzvah, it's a minhag. In fact, we're going to see this together in Tanis. Right, Rav leaves Eretz Yisrael and goes to Bavel. Again, that also, it's so funny. Rav Kahana ended up going from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, but that's one generation later. Earlier, Rav left Eretz Yisrael and went to Bavel. Okay, and again, there's a story behind that, but not for now. Anyway, in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't say Halal on Rosh Chodesh because there's no mitzvah to do so. And now, though not only was there no mitzvah, there was no minhag. They didn't do it. Rav goes to Shul for the first time on Rosh Chodesh in Bavel, and he's looking, and right, they finish Shemoneh Esrei, and they start saying Halal, and Rav's looking around like, what's going on over here? Like, what are they doing? It's not Chanukah, it's not Yontif, it's Rosh Chodesh. What's going on over here? So it's like, what, which religion is this? But then what happens is, the Gemara tells us, we'll see the Gemara together. Then what happens is that they skip paragraphs, He's like, ah, this isn't halal. Oh, okay, good. It's a minhag. And he understood it was a minhag. Okay, but anyway, it comes out clearly that's a minhag. So should you be making a bracha on a minhag? So it's a major debate. Tosfos over here has a major debate. Again, short version, conclusion. The Sfarim do not make a bracha on halal on Rosh Chodesh. Ashkenazim do make a bracha on halal on Rosh Chodesh. And all that is debated in this Tosfos right over here. Let's do a little bit more for today. One more story regarding Aibu. Amar Aibu, have a coming to come to Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Tzadok, Asa Lekame, Ahu Gavra. Okay, so, we have Aibu, and we have Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Tzadok, and another person comes over. Amar Le, Karyasi Isle, Karme Isle. So he says, look, I own vineyards. Zesa Isle, I also have olives. Olive orchard. Also been a canaris and mekashkeshim bekamaya veochlim bezeisaya. So now here's what I do. It's a Shemitah year, right? We're not given a lot of background and context over here, but again, after going through the Rashi's, you'll see. It was a Shemitah year, and so what I had to do, I had workers come and they worked the field. Now you're going to ask the question, which the Gemara is going to ask. Shemitah, you're working the field, aren't you not allowed to do that? Isn't that the whole point of Shemitah? Okay, so stay tuned. In a moment, we're going to ask that question. Anyway, his question was the following. So the workers, so what I did is, as I said to the workers, you know, I'm going to pay you. Go to my olive orchard and eat the olives from the olive orchard. And that's how I'm going to pay you. Now, the olives that are growing that year in the Shemitah year, so that's Shemitah produce. What do we know regarding Shemitah produce? You cannot profit from Shemitah produce. Right, you could barter with Shemitah produce, but you can't profit from it. And you can't use it as wages for the workers. So Aryach Olo Aryach, and he wanted to know, this person wanted to know, it was what he's doing, legitimate or illegitimate. So I'm like, Lo Aryach. So he says to him, very simple, no, it's illegitimate. You can't pay your workers with the olive produce of the Shemitah year. So Havik Hashavik Leva Azel. So okay, he's like, okay, accepted the answer. So Amar, I'm just revisiting who the principals of the story was. It was Aibu and Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Tzadok. Okay, so Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Tzadok is commenting, Amar Kadu Havise Daire Ba'ara Hada Mem Shanim Velo Chamisi Ba'inish Mahalach Ba'archan De Taknan Kedain. I've been here for 40 years. I've never seen anyone as religious as that individual. Meaning, he had a Shaila. He went to the Rav. He asked the Rav. The Rav gave him an answer, and he followed it. Okay, I would hope that. I mean, that sounds like just simple compliance. But okay. Anyway, but I guess it's just one story. I'm sure there were other stories as well. Anyway, the person's a very religious person. So and a really good person. So Hadav Aisi Amarle Mi Ma'aved Amarle Afkar Zeisa Lachashucha. So, and then he came back with a follow-up question. What do I do with the olives? So the answer is really simple. And that is, the olives, it's Shemitah year. In other words, leave it for Hefker. It's not owned by anybody. And as far as paying your workers are concerned, so you'll go out of your pocket and you'll pay them with money. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. Working the field in Shemitah? What? V'kishkushi mishari v'hatanya. We learned on the Brisa, v'ashvias. You can't improve the field during the Shemitah year. You have to let it lay fallow. So Amar of Ukvar Barchama, Trey Kishkushe Hava. So the Gemara over here gives us a really fundamental rule. And as we are now on the threshold of a Shemitah year, like this is it. This one line of Gemara that we're about to learn is really going to make all the difference between what you can and cannot do during the Shemitah year. And obviously, right, the Chazon Ish, who obviously was there during the building of the modern state of Israel. So he really shaped and guided what the farmers did. We're talking early 20th century. What they did based on this one line of Gemara. This is it. And it's just a question of how to understand the Gemara. Now, in order to understand the Gemara, you also have to understand agriculture. So I barely understand the Gemara, and I certainly don't know agriculture. So obviously, I can only help you just so much. But the Gemara says, "Have chatz tumei pele v'chad ivrei ilane." So basically, the difference is, I'll use my own wording, the difference between preservation versus improvement. So if we're just talking about preserving a tree, there's no, you don't have to allow a tree to die during Shemitah year. So to work the field just to get the tree to preserve for that year, that's perfectly allowed. What you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to improve the property. So Ibru Eluna Asur. Sisume Pele Share. So to literally to healthy the tree, to strengthen the tree, that's going to be prohibited. But Stume Pele, but if all we're doing is that, let's say there are cracks in the roots, and if we let that exposure maintain, so we're going to lose the tree, so that you're allowed to do. Okay, so in other words, so the working, the field, the workers in the field, what they did for this guy is all they were doing was just simply preservation of the tree, and that's perfectly allowed. What the prohibition in Shemitah year is to improve the trees. Okay. Atkan, we'll stop over here. A quick recap. Okay, a difficult daf today. All right, a lot of halach lamaisa, but a difficult daf. Okay, first thing we established is that is a Rava going to be overriding the Shabbos when the seventh day comes out coincides with Shabbos? The answer is no. Not in Bavel and not in Eretz Yisrael. And the first thing that we saw today is why? What's the difference? And interestingly enough, the difference is not the difference. Why should that be? So Minag Eretz Yisrael is going to be following Minag Bavel, right? David said it's the tail wagging the dog. And the way Rashi describes it is Shelo Yehesh Kishnei Saros. We don't want it to be looking like two different religions, and so therefore it will create a standardization uniformity amongst the Jewish people. Admittedly, questions I could not answer. I simply don't have the answers for in terms of there still are built-in differences between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis 2 days versus 1 day. Okay, I heard the question. I don't have great answers. The Gemara then went on to discuss a Rava. The mitzvah of a Rava is The mitzvah of a Rava nowadays Zech LeMikdash is only 1 day. The mitzvah of lulav Zech LeMikdash is 7 days. What's the difference between the two? And the Gemara's answer is because for a lulav there already exists a mitzvah min haTorah of 1 day begvulin. So therefore, you have to, in order to have Zech LeMikdash, it has to go more than 1 day. It goes more than 1 day, it goes 7 days. A Rava, however, where there is no mitzvah of a Rava chutz LeMikdash, min haTorah, so therefore, all you need to do is 1 day, and that would be sufficient, and that would be enough. Good. Next big topic that we discussed today was the Kohanim Bale Momim. Are they participating in the Beis HaMikdash in the mitzvah of a Rava? It really depends on what the mitzvah of a Rava is. If the mitzvah of a Rava is netilah, so then all Kohanim need to participate, including Bale Momim. If the mitzvah of a Rava is zakifa, so then the Kohanim, Bale Momim, are not to participate, because I don't need all the Kohanim, just a handful of Kohanim would be sufficient. Next big topic we discussed today, a Rava is, that's done outside the Beis HaMikdash. Is that a Minag Nevi'im, or is it Yesod Nevi'im? Meaning, we start off with Chag Zechariah Melachi, instituting that even outside the Beis HaMikdash, we'll do some form of a Rava. What's that form of a Rava going to look like? Before I get to that, when they instituted it, are they instituting that as a minag or as a yesod, meaning as a takana? And the Gemara says, and the Gemara ends up saying the nafka mina would be, do I make a bracha on it? Anyway, that takes us to the Amud Beis in terms of review. The Gemara's conclusion, it's minag nevi'im, and therefore you do not make a bracha. And the Gemara told us maisa rav, where an episode with rav, meaning actual rav himself, where he took the Arava, but he didn't make a bracha on it, because he held it was minag nevi'im and not yesoda nevi'im. And so it led us to the conclusion that if something is a minag, we don't make a bracha. And then the longer discussion, which again, we just did a short version of it, it's not always true. We do make brachas a minhagim. Second day of Yom Tov, we make a bracha. Halal on Rosh Chodesh, debatable whether we make a bracha, we don't make a bracha. When we were doing the minag of a Rava, so how many Aravas do we need? The Gemara says 3, maybe 1. Our practice is to take 5. Our last thing that we discussed today is the person who goes to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, and Aibu, and he's paying his workers in the field during the Shemitah year with olives that grew during the Shemitah year. Appropriate or not appropriate? And Gemara's answer very clearly, not correct. He can't profit from Perish Vias. I work in the field, that never was part of the discussion. The Gemara says, yeah, because the workers were just simply preserving the trees, which is perfectly allowed. It's improving the field that is disallowed. Adkan. Sure. Sure. Well, everyone.